Understanding relaxation, meditation, and mindfulness, a comprehensive framework. In the evolving landscape of stress management and psychological well-being, we must first understand that relaxation exists within a broader conceptual framework. Modern research, particularly the groundbreaking work of Smith, 2021, demonstrates that relaxation, meditation, and mindfulness, RMM, form an interconnected triad rather than existing as separate entities. This understanding revolutionizes how we approach these practices both clinically and in research settings. The integration of these three domains reflects the natural overlap in their mechanisms and effects. When we examine any mindfulness practice, we find elements of relaxation embedded within it. Similarly, effective relaxation techniques often incorporate aspects of mindfulness and meditative awareness. This interconnectedness explains why most contemporary training programs have moved away from purely singular approaches, instead adopting blended methodologies that draw from all three domains. Smith's extensive research, encompassing dozens of factor analytic studies and surveys of over 40 RMM techniques, provides a sophisticated hierarchical model of relaxation states. This model identifies 25 distinct relaxation states organized across 6 progressive levels. This framework represents a paradigm shift from earlier, simplistic views that treated relaxation as a uniform state. Instead, we now understand that relaxation encompasses a spectrum of experiences that evolve dynamically as practice deepens. The multidimensional nature of relaxation states has profound implications for clinical practice. When working with clients, practitioners must recognize that individuals may experience different aspects of relaxation at different times and in different combinations. Some might initially experience primarily physical relaxation, while others might first notice emotional or cognitive changes. This variety of experience is not only normal, but expected within the RMM framework. Two fundamental theoretical models help us understand the mechanics of self-relaxation. The first, self-stressing theory, identifies 6 distinct mechanisms through which individuals create and maintain their stress response: postural tension, muscle bracing, disturbed breathing patterns, somatic focus, emotional arousal, and anxious attention. Each of these mechanisms represents a potential intervention point for relaxation techniques. Understanding these components allows practitioners to target specific aspects of the stress response more effectively. The psychological relaxation theory provides a complementary perspective, explaining how relaxation states develop and deepen over time. This model emphasizes the progressive nature of relaxation practice, showing how initial physical relaxation can lead to deeper psychological and emotional states. The theory helps explain why consistent practice typically yields increasingly profound results over time. These theoretical frameworks support the practical distinction between deep and abbreviated relaxation techniques. Deep relaxation procedures, such as autogenic training and progressive muscle relaxation, typically involve extended practice sessions and produce more pronounced physiological changes. These techniques serve as foundational practices, helping individuals establish a strong basis for relaxation skills. Abbreviated techniques, exemplified by the quieting response, serve a different but equally important function. These brief interventions, designed for use during daily activities, help bridge the gap between formal practice and real-world application. The ability to implement quick relaxation strategies in response to everyday stressors represents a crucial skill for long-term stress management. The relationship between relaxation training and biofeedback deserves special attention. When combined in biofeedback-assisted relaxation training, BART, these approaches create a powerful synergy. Biofeedback provides immediate, objective evidence of physiological changes, helping individuals refine their relaxation skills with precision. This concrete feedback can be particularly motivating for clients who respond well to quantifiable measures of progress. However, it's crucial to understand that biofeedback itself is not inherently relaxing. It merely provides information about physiological processes. Some biofeedback readings might actually increase anxiety initially, such as when individuals observe elevated blood pressure or muscle tension levels. The therapeutic value emerges from the systematic integration of biofeedback with appropriate relaxation techniques in a structured training program. Autogenic training, a systematic approach to deep relaxation. The development of autogenic training, AT, represents a pivotal moment in the history of systematic relaxation techniques. Developed by Johannes Schultz in the 1920s, AT emerged from careful observations of hypnotic states and the transitions between wakefulness and sleep. Schultz noticed that as individuals approached deep relaxation or sleep, they consistently reported sensations of heaviness and warmth in their limbs. This observation led to a revolutionary insight. If these physiological states accompanied relaxation, perhaps deliberately inducing these sensations could trigger the relaxation response. The genius of AT lies in its systematic, progressive approach. The complete protocol consists of 6 standard exercises, each building upon the previous ones to create an increasingly profound relaxation experience. The first exercise focuses on heaviness in the limbs, establishing a foundation of muscular relaxation. The second introduces warmth, promoting peripheral vasodilation. Subsequent exercises address cardiac regulation, breathing awareness, abdominal warmth, and finally, a cooling sensation in the forehead. This progression reflects a deep understanding of the body's natural relaxation patterns. What sets AT apart from other relaxation techniques is its emphasis on passive concentration. Unlike approaches that require active effort or conscious control, AT teaches individuals to adopt a permissive, observant attitude toward their bodily sensations. This passive approach aligns with current understanding of the autonomic nervous system's operation. We cannot directly force autonomic changes, but we can create conditions that allow them to occur naturally. The traditional European approach to AT training demonstrates remarkable thoroughness, typically extending over 6 months with separate sessions dedicated to each component of the standard exercises. This methodical progression allows for deep integration of the skills and profound physiological changes. While such an extended training period might seem excessive by modern standards, research suggests that this gradual approach produces particularly robust and lasting effects. Progressive relaxation, the science of muscle tension and release. Edmund Jacobson's development of progressive relaxation marked another watershed moment in relaxation science. His research demonstrated conclusively that even when people believe they are relaxed, they often maintain significant levels of muscle tension. This discovery led to a fundamental insight. Many individuals lack basic awareness of their muscle tension patterns and, consequently, cannot effectively release this tension without specific training. Jacobson's original protocol was remarkably comprehensive, addressing 50 distinct muscle groups through 50 to 60 training sessions. Each session focused on developing exquisite awareness of tension patterns in specific muscle groups, with participants learning to discriminate increasingly subtle levels of muscle activity. This detailed approach reflected Jacobson's belief that genuine relaxation required both physical and mental components. You cannot truly relax muscles you cannot accurately sense. Modern adaptations of progressive relaxation have streamlined the process while maintaining its essential principles. Contemporary protocols typically address about 16 muscle groups in sessions lasting 20 to 30 minutes. While this represents a significant abbreviation of Jacobson's original method, research has shown that these modified approaches can produce comparable benefits for most individuals. This evolution makes the technique more accessible while preserving its core therapeutic value. The progression from tension to relaxation in modern PMR serves multiple purposes. The intentional tension phase helps individuals clearly identify muscle groups and experience the contrast between tension and relaxation states. This contrast enhances body awareness and makes the subsequent relaxation phase more noticeable and effective. Additionally, the brief tension phase can help release chronic muscle tension that might not respond to direct relaxation attempts. Visualization, the power of mental imagery in relaxation. The role of visualization in relaxation practice represents one of the most fascinating intersections of mind and body medicine. Kenneth Pelletier's groundbreaking research demonstrated that mental imagery can produce measurable physiological changes, affecting everything from blood pressure to immune function. This understanding revolutionized our approach to relaxation training by establishing visualization as more than just a supplementary technique. It became recognized as a primary intervention in its own right. The physiological impact of visualization occurs through multiple pathways. When an individual vividly imagines a peaceful scene, such as lying on a warm beach, the body often responds as though it were actually experiencing that environment. Heart rate may slow, muscle tension can decrease, and breathing typically becomes deeper and more regular. These responses aren't limited to relaxation imagery. Research has shown that visualizing stressful scenarios can produce corresponding stress responses, highlighting the bidirectional nature of this mind-body connection. Individual differences in visualization ability play a crucial role in the effectiveness of these techniques. Some people naturally experience vivid, detailed mental imagery, while others may perceive imagery more abstractly or struggle to generate mental pictures at all. Research has revealed an intriguing correlation between visualization ability and hypnotic susceptibility, suggesting shared underlying mechanisms. This understanding helps practitioners better match interventions to individual clients, sometimes incorporating other sensory modalities for those who don't experience strong visual imagery. The application of visualization in clinical practice has evolved to include multiple approaches. Beyond basic relaxation imagery, practitioners now use visualization for pain management, performance enhancement, emotional regulation, and behavior modification. The technique's versatility makes it a valuable component in numerous therapeutic protocols, from stress reduction to athletic training. Meditation, ancient practice meets modern science. The scientific study of meditation represents one of the most dramatic shifts in modern psychology's approach to contemplative practices. What was once viewed skeptically by the scientific community has become a well-documented intervention with demonstrable neurological and physiological effects. Contemporary research has moved beyond simply asking whether meditation works to understanding how different types of meditation affect specific aspects of physical and mental functioning. Neuroimaging studies have revealed fascinating structural and functional changes in long-term meditators' brains. Increased gray matter volume in regions associated with attention, emotional regulation, and interoceptive awareness suggests that meditation can literally reshape the brain. However, recent larger-scale studies have introduced important nuance to these findings, particularly regarding the time course and consistency of these changes across individuals. The development of secular meditation protocols marks another significant advancement in the field. Techniques like the relaxation response, developed by Herbert Benson, and clinically standardized meditation have made meditative practices more accessible to diverse populations while maintaining measurable therapeutic benefits. These approaches have been particularly valuable in medical settings, where traditional spiritual practices might be inappropriate or unwelcome. Meta-analyses of meditation research have consistently shown benefits across multiple domains, with effect sizes comparable to established psychological and pharmacological interventions for certain conditions. Particularly strong evidence exists for stress reduction, anxiety management, and attention enhancement. The research also suggests that different forms of meditation may have distinct effects. Focused attention meditation appears to enhance concentration and cognitive control, while open monitoring meditation seems to improve emotional awareness and regulation. Mindfulness, the integration of awareness and acceptance. The mindfulness movement represents a particular kind of meditative practice that has gained enormous traction in clinical settings. Defined as pre-verbal awareness of the present moment with acceptance, mindfulness introduces a crucial element of non-judgmental observation to the practice of attention regulation. This approach has spawned several influential therapeutic protocols, including mindfulness-based stress reduction, MBSR, and mindfulness-based cognitive therapy, MBCD. The effectiveness of mindfulness interventions has been demonstrated across an impressive range of conditions, from chronic pain to depression relapse prevention. What makes mindfulness particularly valuable is its ability to address both acute symptoms and underlying patterns of reactivity. By cultivating a more accepting relationship with difficult experiences, individuals often find they can navigate challenges more effectively, even when the challenges themselves haven't changed. Physical exercise and holistic health integration. The relationship between physical exercise and relaxation represents one of the most powerful yet often overlooked aspects of stress management. Research consistently demonstrates that regular physical activity provides benefits that extend far beyond cardiovascular health, influencing everything from cognitive function to emotional regulation. The approximately 35% reduction in cardiovascular mortality risk associated with regular exercise rivals or exceeds the benefits of many medical interventions. Recent research has revolutionized our understanding of exercise requirements. The popular goal of 10,000 daily steps, originating from a Japanese marketing campaign, has been replaced by more nuanced recommendations based on actual health outcomes. The discovery that significant mortality benefits begin at 7,000 steps per day illustrates how science continues to refine our understanding of exercise thresholds. This finding has important implications for making exercise recommendations more achievable and sustainable for many individuals. The neurobiological effects of exercise provide fascinating insights into its stress-reducing properties. Research has identified several key mechanisms, including increased production of brain-derived neurotrophic factor, BDNF, which promotes neuronal growth and connectivity. The hormone irisin, expressed during exercise, appears to mediate some of cognitive benefits of physical activity. These findings help explain why exercise can be as effective as some medications for managing anxiety and depression. Exercise's impact on brain health extends to protection against age-related cognitive decline and neurodegenerative conditions. Studies with animal models have shown that physical activity can reduce the accumulation of beta-amyloid plaques associated with Alzheimer's disease. The activation of microglia through exercise appears to enhance the brain's immune function and reduce neuroinflammation, providing another pathway through which physical activity promotes brain health. Nutrition, the foundation of physiological balance. The role of nutrition in stress management and relaxation extends far beyond simple energy provision. Recent research has highlighted the complex interactions between diet, stress hormones, and nervous system function. The timing of meals, known as chrononutrition, has emerged as a crucial factor. Studies indicate that consuming larger meals earlier in the day and smaller evening meals can optimize metabolic function and stress response patterns. The threat posed by ultra-processed foods has become increasingly clear through contemporary research. These foods, comprising approximately 60% of the typical American diet, can disrupt natural hunger and satiety signals through their hyperpalatable combinations of fat, sugar, and salt. Even when matched for calories and macronutrients, ultra-processed foods lead to greater weight gain and metabolic disruption compared to whole foods, suggesting mechanisms beyond simple nutrient content. Hydration emerges as a critical factor in physiological regulation and stress response. Research examining serum sodium levels as a marker of hydration status has revealed associations with accelerated biological aging and increased disease risk. The National Academies of Medicine's recommendations for daily fluid intake, 6 to 9 cups for women and 8 to 12 cups for men, provide a scientific basis for hydration guidelines, though individual needs vary based on factors like activity level and climate. Integration of approaches. The most effective approach to stress management and relaxation integrates all these elements. Formal relaxation techniques, meditation, exercise, and nutrition into a comprehensive lifestyle program. This integration recognizes that stress response and relaxation capacity are influenced by multiple interacting factors. A person's ability to relax effectively depends not only on their knowledge of specific techniques, but also on their overall physiological state, as influenced by exercise, diet, and daily habits. The timing and sequencing of these various elements require careful consideration. For example, vigorous exercise too close to bedtime might interfere with sleep, while gentle movement practices like yoga or tai chi might enhance evening relaxation. Similarly, the timing of meals and fluid intake can either support or hinder relaxation practices. Modern stress management must account for the realities of contemporary life while incorporating these various elements. This might mean combining abbreviated relaxation techniques with brief movement breaks during the workday or using mindfulness practices during daily activities like eating or walking. The goal is to create sustainable habits that support overall health and stress resilience rather than viewing relaxation as an isolated practice. Success in implementing these approaches requires understanding individual differences and preferences. Some people might find their primary relaxation through movement, while others might respond better to seated meditation practices. The key is finding combinations of approaches that resonate with each person's lifestyle and preferences while providing comprehensive benefits for physical and mental well-being. Special populations in relaxation training, safety considerations, and adaptations. Children in relaxation training. When working with children, relaxation training requires significant modification to account for developmental stages and attention spans. The language used must be age-appropriate, often incorporating storytelling, imagery, and playful elements to maintain engagement. Sessions should be considerably shorter than adult sessions, typically lasting 10 to 15 minutes for younger children and gradually increasing with age. Instructions need to be concrete rather than abstract, using familiar experiences and metaphors that children can easily understand. Particular attention must be paid to signs of distress or discomfort in children, as they may not verbalize these experiences as readily as adults. Some children may become anxious when asked to close their eyes or lie still, requiring modifications such as keeping eyes open or incorporating gentle movement into relaxation exercises. It's essential to involve parents or caregivers in the training process, both to ensure comfort and to facilitate practice at home. Movement-based relaxation techniques often work better than static exercises for children, as they align with children's natural inclination toward physical activity. Older adults and relaxation practice. Relaxation training for older adults requires careful consideration of physical limitations and medical conditions. Position changes should be gradual to prevent orthostatic hypotension, and exercises involving significant muscle tension may need modification for those with arthritis or other joint conditions. Practitioners should be aware that some older adults may experience increased anxiety with certain relaxation techniques, particularly those involving body awareness, as this might heighten awareness of physical discomfort or health concerns. Clear, slower-paced instructions are essential, with adequate time provided for position adjustments and transitions. The environment should be well-lit to prevent falls, and seating should be stable and supportive. Some older adults may have hearing impairments, making it important to speak clearly and face them when giving instructions. Memory issues might necessitate written handouts or recordings for home practice, with simple, step-by-step instructions. Trauma-informed relaxation approaches. For clients with trauma histories, relaxation training requires particular sensitivity and modifications to prevent triggering or re-traumatization. Closing eyes or lying down may feel threatening, so alternatives like keeping eyes open or sitting upright should be readily offered. Any touch-based instructions or adjustments should be avoided unless specifically requested by the client, and then only with clear consent and ongoing communication. Progressive muscle relaxation may need modification for trauma survivors, as the tension phase can trigger anxiety or flashbacks. Instead, techniques focusing solely on release or gentle awareness might be more appropriate. Clients should be explicitly given permission to stop or modify any technique that causes discomfort, and multiple exit strategies should be discussed before beginning any exercise. Environmental factors like lighting, room arrangement, and clear access to exits need careful consideration. Anxiety considerations. Clients with anxiety disorders may paradoxically experience increased anxiety during relaxation training, a phenomenon known as relaxation-induced anxiety. Initial sessions should be brief, with a gradual increase in duration as tolerance develops. Starting with more active techniques, such as walking meditation or gentle movement exercises, may be more effective than still, quiet practices that might intensify anxiety symptoms. Special attention should be paid to breathing instructions, as some anxious clients may be prone to hyperventilation. Teaching diaphragmatic breathing should be done gradually, with frequent checks for comfort and effectiveness. Practitioners should validate any anxiety that arises during practice and help clients understand that such responses are normal and temporary. Having a grounding object or focus point available can help manage anxiety that emerges during practice. Type 1 Diabetes Safety Protocols. For clients with type 1 diabetes, relaxation training requires specific monitoring and safety protocols. Blood glucose levels should be checked before and after sessions, as relaxation can affect insulin sensitivity and glucose metabolism. Clients should have fast-acting glucose sources readily available during sessions, and practitioners should be familiar with signs of hypoglycemia and appropriate emergency responses. The timing of relaxation sessions should be coordinated with the client's insulin and meal schedule to minimize risks of blood sugar fluctuations. Clients should be taught to recognize how different relaxation techniques affect their glucose levels, as individual responses can vary. Some may need to adjust insulin dosing or timing in consultation with their healthcare providers when incorporating regular relaxation practice into their routine. Written records of blood glucose readings before and after practice can help identify patterns and necessary adjustments. These protocols should be integrated into a comprehensive care plan developed in collaboration with the client's medical team. Regular communication about any changes in diabetes management or relaxation response patterns is essential for maintaining safety and optimizing benefits. The science and practice of relaxation, a synthesis. The field of relaxation training has evolved significantly from its early roots in autogenic training and progressive muscle relaxation to become a sophisticated, evidence-based domain incorporating insights from neuroscience, psychology, and physiology. This evolution highlights several key principles that practitioners must embrace for effective implementation. First, we must recognize that relaxation is not a one-size-fits-all intervention. The diverse array of techniques available, from traditional progressive relaxation to mindfulness-based approaches, reflects the varied needs and responses of different individuals. Success in relaxation training requires careful matching of techniques to individual characteristics, preferences, and circumstances, while remaining attentive to contraindications and necessary modifications for special populations. The integration of biofeedback with relaxation training has dramatically enhanced our ability to verify and refine relaxation skills. However, this technological advancement must be balanced with the fundamental understanding that relaxation is ultimately a self-regulated process. The goal remains empowering individuals to develop internal awareness and control rather than creating dependency on external feedback. Exercise and nutrition emerge as crucial foundational elements that can either support or hinder relaxation practice. The contemporary understanding of these lifestyle factors suggests that relaxation training should be viewed as part of a comprehensive approach to health and well-being, rather than as an isolated intervention. This holistic perspective encourages practitioners to consider the full context of their clients' lives when designing and implementing relaxation programs. The future of relaxation training lies in continuing to bridge the gap between traditional practices and modern scientific understanding. As research reveals more about the neurobiological mechanisms underlying relaxation responses, we can expect increasingly targeted and effective interventions. However, we must remain mindful that the fundamental goal of relaxation training, helping individuals achieve a state of physical calm and mental clarity, remains constant even as our methods evolve. Finally, the growing evidence for relaxation's positive effects on both physical and mental health underscores its importance in contemporary healthcare. As stress-related disorders continue to rise in our fast-paced society, the need for effective, evidence-based relaxation training becomes increasingly crucial. The challenge for practitioners is to maintain the scientific rigor that validates these approaches while preserving the human element that makes them personally meaningful and sustainable for each individual.